Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, John Entsminger. He's the general manager of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program John Entsminger. He's the general manager of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me again.
You know, I've been interviewing people from the Southern Nevada Water Authority for a long time, and I was here when it was at its worst, when all the hookups that had been bought were disappearing and people wanted their money back because the economy was so bad. And I realized that that's a great gauge of how the economy is in Las Vegas in terms of builders and others buying up water hookups. How's the economy doing?
The economy is healthy from what we're seeing. We don't think it's overheated. If you're going to measure it by connection charge revenues, we're nowhere near where we were in 2006, but our connection charge revenue has been stable for the last 4 or 5 years.
So how far down from that peak period are you at this point? 10%, 20% down?
Well, to give you some range, in 2006 was our highest year ever, and we brought in $188 million that year. In 2 years later, 2008, 2009, we brought in $3 million. So just completely off the cliff. And now over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been at the 35 to 40 million range. So like I said, you know, nowhere near the peak, but we actually view that as a healthy indicator for a more stable, mature economy than where we were in the early part of this century.
So there's about $16 billion of the projects on the table right now, most of them funded in one way or another, and a lot of new construction workers being employed. How soon do you start, expect to see this number start going up? Because, I mean, you know, just in hotel rooms alone, and I know they're not the biggest water consumer, but just in hotel rooms alone, it's thousands that are going to be coming online between now and 2020.
So you mean how soon do we start seeing the connection charge revenues go up?
I
don't know that we will, because that's an all-in number. So people pay by meter size. There's one charge for a 5/8 inch meter for every single family home, and there's another charge for every 10-inch meter that's used down on the strip. So like I said, we've seen pretty stable growth and don't see anything on the horizon that we expect to see a major uptick.
In the past, and I'm going back a few years now, but there was talk of the Las Vegas Valley going from around 2 million residents to 3 million residents eventually. How far out do you think that is? Is it 30 years, 20 years?
Well, we do a 50-year resource plan every single year, and we use the population projections from the Center for Business and Economic Research at UNLV, and I think we project 50 years out to have a population of about 3.6 million residents in Southern Nevada. So
3.6, and would that be within the Las Vegas Valley or an expanded area?
CBER numbers take in all of Southern Nevada, all of Clark County, but obviously the vast majority of those would be within the Las Vegas Valley.
That's going to be an amazing time. I mean, that's a lot of people. I mean, almost a 50% increase.
Yes, but of course our valley saw about 100% increase from 1985 to 2000. So historically speaking, 50 years at 50% is a lot less than, you know, 15 years at 100%.
Yeah, to say the least. But I mean, in terms of planning, you know, one of the things that's been talked about, and I know this is not necessarily your area of expertise, but Ivanpah as an airport was talked about, what, 10, 15 years ago. And then when they built Terminal 3, they said that the need is not going to be there for a long time because we'll be able to absorb the capacity. But now I'm starting to hear conversation again about, and it's going to be in the future, and it would take, you know, maybe a decade or more to build that out. But would that be within your service area to go as far as Ivanpah?
It would be. It's within the retail service territory of the Las Vegas Valley Water District, of which I'm also the general manager. So when they were doing the planning, when the Department of Aviation was doing the planning for that airport about 10 years ago, as you said, there was a 24-inch water line included as part of that planning process.
And is there any indication that that's something that you should be thinking about, say, in the next 5 years?
We're thinking about it today. And by thinking about it today, what I mean is just last year, our board adopted an out-of-valley use policy. So not just Ivanpah, but the El Dorado Valley, as we see Henderson move that way, the possibility of North Las Vegas getting the Apex Industrial Park up and running, as we see growth and development occur outside the hydrographic basin boundaries of the Las Vegas Valley, we're going to need different policies for how to provide that water, but also to ensure the most efficient use of that water. So when I say we're thinking about it today, we've already put in place policies for how all of our member agencies are going to have to utilize water outside of the Las Vegas Valley.
I was talking to some folks from UNLV yesterday, in fact, the folks with Nevada Industry Excellence, and they were talking about how Southern Nevada is, like Northern Nevada, is becoming a hotbed for all kinds of manufacturing. Do you have any concerns about that from a water perspective?
I don't, because I trust our process. You know, like I said, we have a 50-year resource plan that we do every single year. So we always have a rolling five-decade outlook for the water portfolio for Southern Nevada. And where our portfolio stands today, we're in a very healthy place. We're only using about two-thirds of our legal entitlement from the Colorado River. We have banked supplies equal to 8 years of our current demands. Our per capita usage has continued to decrease and is down about 43% since 2002. So I think we have the situation in hand.
And that really is a remarkable story, considering how little water you get in the form of rainfall and the crisis that has been ongoing for, what, more than 15 years now on the Colorado River.
Certainly the drought on the Colorado River has been ongoing since 2002, the worst drought in the recorded history of the river. But in the face of that, our community has responded by driving down water usage. We use 28% less water from the Colorado River today than we did in 2002. So again, I think under any scenario, our community has demonstrated that they're up to the challenge.
All right, let's take a break. More on the water situation in Southern Nevada when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with John Ensminger. He is the general manager of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. How has the winter been so far in the Colorado Basin? Because for Northern Nevada, it's been horrendous after an incredible year last year.
The same. It's been extremely poor throughout much of the basin, really with the exception of the White River drainage in northwestern Colorado. Right now, we're looking at inflow into Lake Powell at about 56% of normal. So we could see a significant decline in Lake Powell this year.
What's the balancing act that's got to occur to maintain the level of water you need for Powell and for Lake Mead? Working with the other consumers along the river.
Right. Well, in 2007, the seven states and the major water users that share the Colorado River within the United States came together and put into place an operating agreement that dictates at what elevations how much water is released from Lake Powell down to Lake Mead, and at what elevations, if Lake Mead gets low enough, is additional water released. So those agreements between the states are in place and operating effectively thus far.
One of the things that we've talked about on this program before is something that's probably a very, very long-term project. But LA has let all their floodwaters from flash floods go out into the ocean. It's billions of gallons of water, and it's only in the last couple of years that they've talked about building some kind of retention basins to be able to capture that water. Can you update us on that? Is there any actual planning process that's moving ahead, or is it still in the talking stage with that?
I'm not aware of Southern California's plans to capture floodwater. And when you say billions of gallons, that sounds like a lot of water, but by the time you capture that, you treat that water and then pump it back uphill so it can be distributed through your distribution system, I would imagine that would be almost cost prohibitive.
Really? So that's not something that's on your radar?
Well, we've looked at stuff like that here in the Las Vegas Valley, but when you get 4 inches of rain a year, depending upon flash floods for your stable water supply, really isn't at the top of our list, really isn't on our list.
Desalination, does that raise its head from time to time? In the past, we've had discussions about not necessarily building desalination plants off the coast of California, but off the coast of Mexico, and then California being able to take some of that water, and that would release water for places like Nevada?
Absolutely. I believe if I, got my crystal ball out that 30, 40 years from now, Southern Nevada probably will have an equity interest in a desal facility, either on the coast of California or, as you say, more probably on the Pacific coast of Mexico. And we've put in place a lot of legal agreements between the United States and Mexico to make those types of exchanges possible through the execution of Minute 319 in 2012, and then last year, Minute 323. A minute is basically an addendum to the 1944 treaty between the United States and Mexico. We've now established how U.S. entities can invest in water efficiency measures in Mexico, and in return for that, have a piece of Mexico's treaty water left in Lake Mead for their use. So the legal mechanisms have really been pioneered to allow that sort of investment to occur. We just simply don't need the water bad enough right now to move forward with that kind of, hundreds of millions of dollars or even billions of dollars in capital investments for additional water supplies.
When people look at the level of Lake Mead, they get concerned that it's going to drop below the level that's necessary to maintain the water supply as it is. How close are we to that? I mean, could that occur during this winter period if we don't get more precipitation?
No, it could not occur during this winter period. In fact, the operations for the water year, which starts September 1st each year, is determined the first week of August every year. So last August, determined everything that will operate on the Colorado River for this coming year. When we look ahead to next year and what we think we're seeing in August, we could, there's about a 50-50 chance of being at the first level where the Secretary of Interior would reduce people's ability to take water off the river, but that's not anywhere close to physically not being able to pump water out of the lake. We're in a very strong position to be able to continue to deliver water to our community.
All right, let's take another break. More on the water situation in Southern Nevada when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with John Ensminger. He's the general manager of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. I got to share this with you. I know you weren't there, but about 18 months ago, at the time, Senator Harry Reid was addressing the Las Vegas Metro Chamber in a large public gathering. And he said to them that the number one thing they should be working on is getting the pipeline built from Northeast Nevada down to Las Vegas, because the water that was there would be much more beneficial flushing toilets on the strip for gamblers than it would be for watering alfalfa in Northeast Nevada. And nobody ever came to you and asked you for a comment, so I'm asking you for the comment 18 months later. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, the first thing I would say is I certainly do not view this as an agricultural versus urban issue. I do not view this as a Northern Nevada versus Southern Nevada issue. I think this is a conversation that the entire state needs to have. And part of that conversation is the fact that 70% of the population of Nevada that lives in Clark County uses less than 5% of the water that's available in the entire state of Nevada. So if the economic health of our state at some point in the future, and I'm talking probably decades out, requires that 6% of the state's water go to the needs of 70% of the population, then I believe that's a valid public policy debate that needs to be had.
And the reality is that the size of the population in Las Vegas as a percentage of the state is going to continue to increase.
I believe that's probably true, but I'm not really familiar with the state demographers' projections for the state outside of Clark County.
Well, but I mean, right now, you're, what, just under 2 million people in Southern Nevada. We have around 1 million people in the rest of the state. And Las Vegas, with $16 billion worth of projects in the pipeline, is going to be growing tremendously just in temporary construction workers alone, let alone the people that will be moving here for housing. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to the county manager for Lyon County the other day, and they are on the edge of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. A part of it is within Lyon County. And he was talking that at this point, and this is where all the housing is going to go, that they're not sure they have the water to be able to deal with the housing that's going to be required, and they're looking to bring water in from other locations. Are you familiar with anything that's going on in Lyon County and their search for water?
I am, at least to the extent of what I read in the newspapers. I'm certainly not an expert and couldn't opine on what their options are, but I think it demonstrates the fact that interbasin transfers are not a new thing in Nevada. There are, I believe, 116 interbasin transfers around the state for everything from mining to agricultural to municipal and industrial uses. So sometimes people hear that phrase and think it's, you know, akin to, you know, one part of the state taking water from another, when really it's a historic practice of moving water to where it can be put to the highest and best use.
And there are, you know, for example, the Southern Nevada Water Authority owns ranches in the eastern part of the state that were bought and paid for that come with water rights, and you would have, one would think, apart from all the lawsuits, the right to be able to move that water to where it would be the most beneficial.
That's true, but I would point out that the water we acquired with the ranches will be utilized for the most part to maintain the agricultural way of life in those valleys and to protect the environment in those valleys if that groundwater project is ever developed. The bulk of the water that's been permitted by the state engineer was unused, unappropriated water that the state engineer determined was available for appropriation and use in Southern Nevada.
Henry Breen has done some great reporting on those ranches, and it seems that the folks that you have in charge of those ranches are benefiting the other ranches in the region by teaching them best practices.
Well, I don't know if we're reinventing the wheel, but we're trying to be good neighbors.
Well, it's, I don't know about reinventing the wheel, but it certainly seems like the ranches have come around to respecting what you guys are doing out there. I wanted to ask you, with the change of administration and the Interior Department, how is that working for the Southern Nevada Water Authority? Are you happy with the way things are going with the Interior Department at this point in time?
I would say the area of the Interior Department that we deal with the most is the United States Bureau of Reclamation. Obviously, the Reclamation is a leader on the Colorado River. They own and operate the major dams on the river. And we were fortunate to have Brenda Berman nominated and confirmed as the Commissioner of Reclamation late last year. And Brenda, you know, is a personal friend, but a professional colleague who has worked at a number of agencies across the Colorado River. So we've seen nothing but professionalism from the parts of Interior that we deal with during this administration.
There was certainly overreach in one direction under the Obama administration, and now there seems to be a reversal under the Trump administration of regulations. And you know, you talk to any political pundit and they're going to tell you that's the way it is. I mean, you have a radical change of administration. The pendulum is going to swing too far in one direction, then swing too far in the other direction. Are there any regulations in particular that have benefited the Southern Nevada Water Authority?
None that come to mind.
Because there was the whole thing with the Obama administration and where they were trying to take every stream and every piece of water and put it under the federal government's domain.
Right. You're referring to the waters of the U.S. or WOTUS. And we did have some concerns with how that regulation had been drafted under the previous administration, and it was still working its way through the court system at the time. I mean, one of the primary things we had looked at was that it would regulate as a navigable water every arroyo in Nevada where it rains once a year and water flows through
right?
it. So it went a little far, and we had worked with other trade groups, other utilities to try to get some of that brought back in. But frankly, I think some of that would have occurred even if we had seen another Democratic administration, because as I said, it was working its way through the courts, and I think that regulation had just gone a little bit too far based upon just the four corners of the actual Clean Water Act upon which it was based on.
And that's where we have to leave it. We're out of time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thank you so much for being here, and we'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, it's an all-pundit show with Amy Tarkanian, Brian Wachter, and Russell Rowe. We'll see you then.